recall, we ended our last session with you hopping on the giant obsidian boat.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Escaping the situation you were in.
Well, I'm definitely taking the spell.
To wander through a portal on the boat, directed by a half a skeleton, into a lake of green bubbling magma with sharp, jagged mountains around this, what looks like a lake of lava.
Liquid hot magma.
The sky overhead is gray and overcast, but you know, you hear thunder rumbling in the distance, but don't see a whole lot of lightning as you find yourselves floating in this bowl of magma.
Oh, Caleb, just a side note, my passive perception is 25.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So you find yourselves floating in the boat. What is your reaction?
I'm going to light a joint off the heat from the magma. I mean, an incense.
Oh, I got my wrong cameras on. I'm going to get this one. We've got to set up display capture.
Yeah, I'm probably going to look over at Bone Dude. We're going to go on. And be like, where are we?
This. There we go. This. This. Good.
I brought you to my home! Yeah, far away from those stupid little clayface people!
Fuck the clayface.
Okay. But we do actually need to eventually get back to our home.
Yes, that's totally... We can arrange for that. We just have to pay a visit to some old friends of mine. They can put me back together and I can get you back home.
All right.
Lupini is just enraptured by the ability to light an incense stick off of the very lava that you're floating in.
Totally awesome.
You narrowly have to jump back. You jump back narrowly, being missing a blob that, as a bubble burst on at the edge of the boat.
I need to change my panties now.
I mean, I didn't expect you to be wearing any, but
I turned them inside out the other night, day two. You know.
Just wait till he turns them around to give them some extra another week.
They're sunny side up now.
Oh my god. Oh, excuse me while I just barf in my mouth a little bit.
Onward.
You're gonna kill me, John.
Magma.
Onwards, yes. Alright. Cal, as you look around and you take in surroundings a little bit more, you see that indeed while the area is hemmed in on three sides by this jagged U-shaped mountain range, it does go off somewhere off in the east, and the lava seems to flow in that direction. Megan, Zan, as you turn and look inwards at the very heart of the U, standing there are these massive towers that are thin with these little jutouts on them where people that look like almost like the silhouette of balconies from here. You see orange lights lighting up all around it and a harbor that goes directly out onto the lava flow. As you're staring at it, the skull on your head starts talking. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's my home.
How long have you been away from it?
I don't really know.
But you know,
I was stuck in that bottle for most of the time, because I mean, that's just, it's very hard to tell how long I've been away. Do you know what year it is?
I assume I do, and so I tell him.
I don't even know what plane we're in anymore.
No.
This dude's got his own little lava demi-plane.
He sits there as you give him the ear, and he says, is that, that's the time on where the humans live, right?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that's... You see him take the bones off his off of your arms, and he starts counting his fingers. That's got to be almost 200 in your world.
Oh.
My, there must be so much exciting to go and explore. So tell me, what, He kind of waves a hand, and the boat starts kind of drifting in towards the city. And he says, so tell me, what brought you into the heart of those yucky clay face people?
They kind of got in our way. They kidnapped someone that I'm distantly related to. And then they weren't happy that I took her back. So
basically dicks.
Yeah, so we fought them.
Peculiar. And how did you first meet these pathetic mortals?
Actually, we were out in the middle of a desert. And they just kind of appeared among the sand.
Sketchy, little fuckers.
Very sketchy.
Did they ask you for anything?
They seemed to mostly just be pissed off that we were around. Why, did they ask you for something before they put you in the jar?
Oh no, they put me in a jar for a very different reason. Their master, the claymaker. I thought it'd be funny to stuff him in a kiln and lock the door.
Agreed.
He didn't think it was so funny.
Well, based That's on what funny, we man. Know of them, I like your idea.
Don't try stuffing him in a kiln. He was stuck in there for a good couple hours, and it didn't seem to cook him.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know, right? I wanted a new statue.
You collect statues.
I would collect that statue. He and I have known each other for quite some time.
You didn't mention that before.
Well, you don't usually mention that you've been trying to kill someone for a millennia. Or, you know, when you first meet people.
Okay.
Or you failed at killing them for a millennia.
He likes to hide. There are some places that folks like me can't wander through.
Now, not like a street in the middle of broad daylight?
Yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but have you always been just bones?
This is a more... I wouldn't say painting. Just what I had to deal with being stuck in a jar.
Okay.
I do very much appreciate your legs. They have greatly sped up this process.
I think he likes you, man.
I think so, too. Can I bone the bone man? I'm just kidding.
I mean, you could certainly try.
There's double entendre, this motherfucker.
Unlike a lot of other mammals that have
you
bones.
You said manual first.
A lot of other animals, mammals, have bones there, but not humans. There's no bone involved.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. Hunters often collect them from bears they hunt.
He can use his phalanges.
No comment. Can we get back on track?
Before we get back on real quick, Caleb, do I have your permission to look through a couple of the Monster Manual expanded third-party things for CR3 creatures? Because there's like four.
Take a look through them, send them over to me, and we'll talk.
Okay, sounds good.
What about beasts? Is there any cool beasts?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's only like a few beasts.
Send them to Caleb, see if they're approved.
Yeah, that's what we just talked about.
Oh.
Thanks. I thought that was... I'm usually pretty chill, because, yeah, I'm aware that you have this cool ability and very few options to use it on, so, you know, I'm open-minded. You're in charge of keeping track of the stat block if we do that, because...
Yep. The ape's I'm cool lazy. As fuck, but it'd be nice to see some neat new ones.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So you guys... So he's chatting it up with you. He's, but I can't help but wonder. I hope you don't mind. I took a peruse through some of your surface memories, and you had a very traumatic experience with some angels. What happened? What were you doing in the realm of the angels?
I stepped through a portal, not... too unlike the one that we just went through, so I'm cautious.
Smart. I like that.
But yeah, so the angels had this deal that they couldn't spill blood on this specific ground, and I kind of wandered into an area that I wasn't supposed to be in. And saw some things I wasn't supposed to see, so then they tried to kill me. But yeah, then that just started a big war.
And who did it start a war with?
The blacksmith.
Where's the blacksmith?
Blacksmith, Tall fellow, kind of broad. Seems to have some anger issues. Doesn't like things that stick around for a long time.
Sounds like me.
Yep, that last one. That's right.
You... Wait, so who spilled the blood? Who spilled the blood?
The angels. And then they lost.
I rode the blacksmith's back as a big spider.
I cowered in fear and followed someone's lead, but fuck those guys.
You healed, dude. We would have died, like, I would have died, like, twice over if you weren't been healing in there. Holy crap.
You continue down the magma.
So you're telling me that the angels broke the concordance and spilled blood?
That's correct.
And I'm guessing the blacksmith didn't take too well to that, did he?
He did not.
What a fortuitous time to be back.
You know the blacksmith.
Oh, yes, I do quite know the blacksmith.
What's his name?
Charming fellow, once you get to know him. But
he looks over at the city and goes,
I should probably show them the city. You have the advantage of my eyes.
He waves a hand, and ahead of you, suddenly this city appears out of thin air. The two of you are suddenly able to see it. As he says,
now who wants to arrive in style?
Put my hand up.
Oh, yeah. Zan's
going for
it.
But then I look down, because I'm wearing that, like, fancy-made outfit, whatever the heck it was. I think it was, like, a red with, like, gold tint. Because it gives a +1 armor, so I'm wearing that shit.
I'm looking confused because I'm already in style.
I have new cantrips. I'm not commanding, so I can keep it in peace.
So, you know, he says,
could you march us up to the top, up there by the back of the boat?
Okay.
Called the stern.
Yeah.
says, now plant your feet good and solid. And the rest of you, hang on.
I grab my breast.
His arms over top of yours. He guides your hands outwards, and you start at about waist level, and suddenly his hands flick up, and he slowly starts raising his hands up higher and higher, arms outstretched. The two of you in the front of the boat look back and see the massive wave of green magma building behind you. As the boat rides the wave, you continue to, Zan continues raising your arms up with this skeletal figure across you until your hands are almost, backs of your hands are almost touching each other. And then suddenly you swoosh your arms down in a chopping motion and the wave launches itself across the lake. The boat riding it as it crests, the heat like blasting you as he's standing there. You feel the hot wind air slapping your face around the skull as it's time. As the wave then begins to dissipate and it crashes a few hundred feet out from the city, causing your obsidian craft to gently drift towards one of the piers. Stone and imposing, sticking out of the magma.
Oh, this is cool.
The waves splashing around, hitting the stone, the surface of the magma, disturbed by your show of of show. As you pull up to the dock, you look onto the dock and you see three men standing there, their black eyes wide, their purple face showing wonder. You look down at their beards and see almost writhing like snakes, their mouths are open, staring at you.
Your eyes gonna get about blacker right now.
As you pull up to dock and a couple of them step forward or come forward, and who do you think you are just pulling up here without announcing yourself? And with that wave, you could have caused. They're spluttering. They're so angry. As the bone man causes Zan's hand to lift itself up, raising a finger. Shh.
It's okay. You obviously don't recognize me without my face. So that's understandable. But I...
Yeah, pauses and then straightens up and says,
I am Prince Rathma, first of the nine princes of hell.
Kind of glances over at the other two of you.
Sgrumba.
What?
Wait, what were those words before Grumba?
He's cutting out.
Ah, shit. You're cutting out, man.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, you're back.
Now you sound good.
Try that again.
We caught everything except for the words right before Grumba.
Something about how I get to re-roll my hit points.
I am Prince Rathma, first of the nine princes of hell, son of Grumba.
Oh boy.
Two of them look dumb. Two of the three on the dock look completely dumbfounded. Looking back and forth at each other, the third, a little more brash, steps forward and says, that's impossible. He's been gone decades, centuries. He died a long time ago. You feel the bones on your body kind of tense up a little bit, and he says,
you will show respect, peasant?
as the dockhand steps forward and goes, I don't take orders from some rack of bones on a shrimp on a child. You better, all of a sudden your hand rises up and your finger actually bends in an unnatural way backwards with the bone on it.
Ow.
It doesn't hurt, but you definitely feel the tendon stretch.
Okay.
We'll use that later.
As the snake-bearded purple man in front of you suddenly goes stiff. I said, he bends the finger forward and the man falls to his hands and falls forward. You will. He bends again and he's now laying on the floor. Show, flat on his belly. Respect. Come, friends, let's go.
I'm basically just letting the skeleton drive this crazy train.
Yeah, I'm wide-eyed, staying my distance and just watching.
I mean, we were in heaven, now we're in hell. Although I was not expecting the son of Groomba.
Sorry, is that what he said? He's the son of Groomba?
Yep.
Oh.
I want to see the baby mama. Who the hell could fuck Groomba?
I mean, someone fireproof. Unless he's like a spider and they just like, yeah, spiders are interesting. The female spider.
Or a salmon?
No, the female spider.
They just spray their semen in the water and.
Oh, yeah, that would work too. Just spray it in the lava and then this skelly boy's mom went for a swim.
Probably a salmon, mom.
All right. So marches, he guides you through the streets and you see all like the dark stone, almost like obsidian glass of the buildings. You can just looking at them, you see the sharp edges along them, but beautifully crafted into these structures with windows and doors. And there are more of these purple people, some with horns, some with snake beards, all of them quite well dressed, even the commoners. You can tell there's definitely a lower class of people that you're walking through these more narrow streets by the docks that as you move away from the lava edge, the buildings start becoming larger and grander, and the clothing on the people around you changes dramatically. And you start seeing like purples and reds and different like vibrant skin tones. And these people are actually like wearing suits and fancy dresses, and you've definitely entered the richer part of town.
Right on. It's where I belong, bitches. Sorry.
As if I'm fucking engaged. I could have hustled someone.
What happens in hell stays in hell.
Bet.
What happened in heaven did not hecking stay in heaven, so it's not safe to assume it will here.
That's a pretty solid point.
I mean, he's not wrong. So, as you are perusing through the, you pass by a couple shops and you kind of see like these strange items up for sale, and you don't really have time to stop and look, but you do take note of their locations as you pass by them. People in the street are looking at you, though.
I'm a child wearing a skeleton.
You're a child wearing a skeleton with two fleshy humanoids, which you don't notice an awful lot of them down here. As you approach the largest of the buildings, its looming towers hundreds of feet above your head, you go to the front gate, and two horned individuals, bat-like wings, step forward. State your name and business.
I am
I realized I created a scenario where I have to roleplay myself or with myself a little bit. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'm loving it. It always ends up really good.
Animating your arms with you, he waves and actually does a bit of a bow. He says, "I am Prince Rothma, returned home at last. I wish to see my mother." As they look back and forth at each other, one of them says, you see them lean in and whisper, "Well?" He looks at you, at the skeleton. You can see his eyes are like piercing in almost into you, and he goes, "Come with me." He leads you inside. And the glass-like obsidian of the walls reflects the glowing lights that are magically installed into the ceiling, causing the pale blue light to just reflect on different surfaces around you. So it's not brightly lit, but it's definitely not not dark. So you were brought into this waiting chamber. And the guard says, I will send word to Her Majesty." Leaves the room.
"Made to wait in my own home."
"Well, you've been gone a long time. I suppose it's not unreasonable that they're being careful, right? Trying to keep..."
"That's bullshit, safe. Bro. That's bullshit."
The imp crawls out of one of your sleeves and looks directly at the halfling and goes, "Why in the hell would you bring us here?"
"Why in the hell didn't you what, show you don't up like and it? Give us a better I thought idea?"
Real talk.
The imp looks over at Lupin and he says, "I used to live here till some... decided to sell me in the traveling circus."
"Do you happen to remember the name of this asshat?"
The imp takes borrows your incense stick, taking a long, deep drag before passing it back to you.
Also, distancing, bro.
He did just crawl out of your sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
He's there to help you keep other people away.
I like his style.
The tiny imp says, "Yeah, he was one of the princes like you. Sheobob."
"Sheobob? I know Sheobob. He's an asshole." "He's also my brother."
"Ooh.
Yeah, this could get interesting."
"What could possibly go wrong?"
"Everything."
Sorry, this voice is...
"Or nothing. You never know."
"I mean, based on our track record, probably everything."
"It'll be fine. I'll be granted my status as prince again. You can go home. Everything will be great."
"All right."
"Because they can give me back my body. And then, I'm kind of in a limited capacity, as you might imagine."
"Yeah.
Alright, what did I miss exactly?"
"The imp used to live here, apparently."
"Oh, the imp?"
"Yeah."
"Oh, and they're neighbors." Something like that.
"Yeah.
I just pictured the imp from Pulp Fiction."
"I don't know the imp from Pulp Fiction. Or at least, no, something else. Anyways, stopping from getting off topic. You, after waiting for probably close to an hour, there's a knock at the door, and the door opens, and you're greeted by a different individual, this one with slicked back black hair, two tiny horns pointing out at the brow line. He's clean shaven, doesn't have a massive writhing beard, and is wearing some very, very fine clothing. As he steps into the room and says, "Her Majesty will see you now." And you realize that this is a servant.
Are you breaking up to anyone else, or is it just my shitty internet?
Tiny bit.
A tiny bit, but not
here, too
bad.
I'll hop out and hop.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
That's what he said. Hop out, hop back in.
Hop?
Whoa. I mean.
All right, so we're back and we're good.
Sounds good.
So you guys are led out of the waiting room and down some other halls to this. There's an antechamber off of these huge, huge silver doors. As you approach, two more servants step forward and each one grabs a handle and pulls on it, and the door with a clatter swings open to reveal this large chamber with columns. And across the room, you see tables of decadent food, what look like large couches or small beds tucked throughout the columned room with curtains that are exceptionally sheer.
Uh-oh.
You hear the laughter and giggles coming from within as some of the most hedonistic acts you could possibly imagine are being performed all around the room. The smell of wine and the sound of music assault your ears. At the back end of the room, you see this large staircase that just goes up into this large opening in the wall. There's nothing up there that you can see.
At all these sights and sounds, Zan, tries to focus her gaze on her feet as she's walking, and she's muttering to herself, "This is what got me in trouble in heaven. This is what got me in trouble in heaven."
Well, then don't enter the scene this time. At least not from the ceiling.
I mean,
crash.
I rolled in from the balcony. Thank the light bulb.
As you As you try to look down, the skull actually stops you as he just kind of whispers, "We hold our heads high here. This is a place where we should feel welcome."
Okay.
Or would you say we should feel open?
You don't even have neck muscles, bro. How do you hold your head up high?
How do I do most of the things that I do?
It's a talking skeleton. Why does the neck muscles bug you?
I don't know.
As you step into the room, somebody, another servant steps forward and moves their hand in a funny motion and then begins to speak, and their voice booms out across the room, magically enhanced. "Presenting the return of Prince Rothma, first prince of hell, son of Groomba." The music stops and everybody in the room stops and turns. And with your 25 perception, passive perception, you see at the very top in that opening, something stirs. Something, not a person, just something. It's almost like it became more obscured.
Damn, B.
As the three of you march across the room, the eyes of all of these different heads poking out from the curtains to see who has come forward claiming to be Rothma. As he says, "I'm back, everyone. It is good to see you." He starts moving across the room.
I have come to take my rightful place at home. I have been indisposed of, and suddenly a hulking purple man, good solid 8 feet tall, steps in front of the three of you and looks down at you. You are Rothma, you say? I see a child wearing a skull. What makes you think? You feel your hand suddenly shoot up again as this time your finger instead bends forward, and you watch as the muscles in this massive person's arm suddenly curl up and he punches himself in the face.
That Thanos.
Stop hitting yourself there, buddy.
Quit hitting yourself.
I wish I had Thaumaturge, I'd yell. I just stand there and watch. I'm kind of like at on edge.
I like seeing Thanos hit himself.
A woman's voice moves across the room. You not only hear it, but you feel it in your core. Let them pass. And as you, the large purple man steps aside, glaring down at you, as you move forward.
I smirk at him.
And moonwalk.
Rothma makes sure to turn and open his mouth so that he can see your smirk. He is equally attempting to rub it in.
Give you something to rub in.
He steps forward and steps to the very base of the stairs across this large room. And there! It is so good to be home! I have missed you! As you see up at the top of the stairs, the opening is indeed not empty, as the very air swirls and these tiny little almost black particles swirl around, and at the very center you see the silhouette of what looks like a person, but you can't see into this misty cloud that is the voice. It is good that you have returned home, my son. Where have you been?
Well, I decided to stuff the claymaker into a kiln, and then he ripped my legs off and stuffed me in a bottle.
My man.
That's accurate.
My favorite NPC so far.
I was stuck with that, with you. I was stuck in there until they stuck somebody else in there. These lovely individuals might introduce you to the soon-to-be Queen of Terralinus, Lupini. He causes the halfling to, like, wave your arm in a gesture towards Lupini. The brave knight Cal, who has proven himself in battle many a times. And of course, my means of transportation is none other than Princess Dan of Terralinith. You can kind of feel the shift in. Everybody, roll me insight.
Hi, yeah. Oh, nat 20.
Nice. I got 16.
11. 11 and 16.
Wait, no. 15.
15.
It's wisdom. I thought it was int.
So you notice a couple. Like, there's a kind of a change in body language in one or two of the creatures in the room. Then, however, you see as the titles are being laid on each of you, as you're being introduced, the entire mood of the room is shifting, realizing that they are, while they may still be dealing with mere mortals, these are not mortal peasants.
Yay! We're not the worst of the worst.
I was so afraid they were going to attack us once they heard Terra Lyneth. Like, you have no idea how paranoid I was.
I mean, the lowest ranking among you is a knight, and that's still lower nobility. And you're all getting the praise of somebody who seems to have, or at least seems to think he has some clout around here. So, that's what your natural 20 gets you.
Just to clarify real quick, because I'm going to try and say something. But so the Scully Boy, he says he's the son of Groomba?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And then this person we're talking to from context we've kind of put together is at least his mother, maybe wife, or at least, you know, consort of Groomba, correct?
Potentially.
Okay, potentially, yeah, yeah. I take a quick bow. I say all three of us have, what would you word that as?
Made
contracts or agreements with Groomba, and some of his power works through us, and we work on behalf of him.
What if they hate him?
Hey, this guy's the son of Groomba, and no one hates him yet.
The woman's voice echoes across the room. So you are the ones who caused the end to the Concordance.
Quite by accident, and I maintain that it was the Angel's fault. They're the ones that tried to kill me. All I did was wander into an orgy. If they didn't want me there, they should have locked the doors.
Me and Groomba squished the Angels.
Interesting. Very interesting. That you as a mortal would turn against the Angels, something that you have been taught is good and pure. What would possess you to do such a thing?
I only believe in the things that I can see.
They started it!
Indeed. Indeed they did. On the matter of your princehood, suddenly one of the other beings leaps out of one of the beds, completely buck naked, standing a good 7 feet tall with these purple skin, and the palms are a yellowish color, the bright red eyes staring out with these long curly ram horns sticking out the sides.
Zan's looking at, trying to look at her feet again. She doesn't want to look.
You have been replaced, brother. You were left. I am now the first prince of hell.
Uh-oh.
Is this true, mother? You were gone for so long, we could not find you. We feared you dead. However, now that you have returned, there is but one course of action. Since you are indeed the firstborn and still alive, you must accomplish the very trials that you went through to become the first prince in your current form.
Oh,
God.
She says, however, you are allowed ally. Should anyone in this room wish to volunteer to assist you on this challenge? The naked, balls dangling demons. You can't be serious, mother. I can be as I am, as all things must change in time.
Well, that's a good sign. Caleb, you're cutting out again. Is it just on me?
It's a little bit.
A little, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna hop out.
It doesn't actually sound like it's just the... mic or something, Caleb. It almost sounds like you're like, it's like quiet and it kind of cuts out like that, right?
Strange, because I'm holding it inches from my face.
Okay, no. I can hear you good now.
Okay.
Mm. So back to the mist.
Yeah.
So Mr. Dangles McGee is now standing there. You can't be serious, Mother.
I can, because the rules state we must always follow the ancient laws and ways. If he can complete his tasks, the tests, then he becomes the first prince, and you will still maintain your title as the second. And you can hear some grumbling across the room. Now,
no more orgy night? Aww.
Are there any who would volunteer to undertake this task with my son?
Zan puts her hand up. And then she goes, no, he's not making me do this. I'm doing this.
I see. The two of you look around the room. You see that none of the multicolored beings in the room have stepped forward to volunteer, reasonably so. They
are being asked whether they want to... this is about.
And the guy that's about to try and do it is half of his former self and only made out of bones.
Yeah. But he's our way home. Plus.
Oh yeah, I stick my hand up there. I look at the mist lady, I say, never mind. I was going to ask if we can bring other companions, but I'm not putting my little gazer through a gauntlet. I'll never live with myself if I let him die.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So two of you have stuck your hands up, which has caused a murmur to go across the room. And as Dangles McGee says, you can't be serious. You cannot take these squishy mortals with you through the... Rothma cuts him off. First of all, put on some pants. I don't even have fleshy bits and I dangle further than that.
Zan's grinning. She likes the doll jokes.
Secondly, I can take these mortals. And thirdly... In 200 years, you are just as stupid and oblivious as you were when I left you. What do you mean by that? He says, don't come any closer. You don't want to have to take a snap on the floor. What I meant was, if you had so much as taken a good whiff out of something other than someone's butt cheeks, you would have smelled that only two of them were alive. But I guess you're too stupid to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Right.
Moron.
I've been meaning to ask if I have a heartbeat.
You do not.
Cool.
Which also means that something that hunts by noise, if you were to stand still enough, would have absolutely no idea that you're there. It also means that if it has thermal vision... You are considerably colder than anything else.
Yeah.
Fucking love
it. And you just pull out green flame blade, and it's like, oh, there she is.
Yeah, there's the light.
I make a little telepath to Lupini. I half assume that half these assholes can poke into this conversation, but I simply don't care. Hey, Lupini, Queen. Seems like we're gonna kind of try and do this. You should put your hand up and join us there. I'm sure that we could get more access to more weed and stuff. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do this then. I wouldn't mind that devil chronic.
Alrighty. So, I have my allies. They may not be traditional. But at least I trust their loyalty.
Ah, must be a deep cut.
Around the room. That's funny.
That's low, bro.
Not as low as Bone Man's balls. Sorry, you guys started it.
He is, you can tell that Dangles McGee is quite angry by you making fun of his scrotum. But has not yet put on pants. So we shall up the mountain then.
Another mountain. Oh lord. Our party's gonna have a fear of mountains at the end of this.
As you march out of the room determinedly, you get outside of the palace, people giving you a wide berth inside the palace. You start leaving out the town, out the city, passing through more of the narrow streets, as you notice that the center of the town seems to be where all the well-to-do people live, and then there are more commoners living out in the surrounding area. As you head up towards one of the mountains, Rothma the Bone Man is pointing you as to which path to take.
I guess on the way I'm asking him questions like, what are we going to have to do here?
The trials, of course. Trials that show whether you are worthy to be a prince of hell.
Put my hand up, I say, hey, that sounds very interesting. I'm the kind that is able to prepare a lot of things. Prepare spellcaster. Not that I'm planning on changing my spells or anything, but what can you tell us about the trials exactly from the last time you dealt with them, or do they change often enough that that's not useful information?
He kind of pauses for a moment.
They change in detail, but they are always designed to test the morality of the individual. One must be perfectly balanced.
That ain't me.
Stoned off her keister. And I mean, yeah, my friend.
Devils are kind of balanced, at least normal 5e lore, because it's like, they are evil, but they have laws. They have everything else. Like, it's not just
they've got their own chaos. Rules. Yeah.
I've seen little Nikki. I'm
gonna tell you right now, the 5e lore will not super help you anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm not really.
You know, well, that's good, because I don't know it anyway.
Good.
I don't even know what that means.
Perfect.
We're all on the same page. Woo!
So as you trek up the mountain, he says, the last time I, there's usually more than one way to solve most of these problems that they'll present to us. Some of them end in violence. Some of them do not. But you guys seem pretty talented at the violence.
Try.
I believe you are quite successful. You were handling the claymaker's pet quite well before we made our escape.
That big blue or whatever color it was, that big dragon thing, that was its pet?
Oh yes.
He pauses and goes,
you have no idea who the claymaker is. You?
No.
Not really, no.
Is he like the keymaster?
He pauses and says,
clay golems.
The claymaker is part of one of the original created species. Back when the gods themselves fought over this world. I mean, first they made elementals, and I mean, elementals are wonderful beings, but they're not exactly what you would want to use as an organized force.
And bring them home to your mom.
That was when That was when the demons were created. They were more organized, certainly, but not by a whole lot. They're able to organize simply to destroy what is organized. So they made the angels to try and fix that.
Sounds like that island by Australia.
Sorry, the problem with the angels is that they will organize everything until it is boring.
Communism.
Worse, communism without the sharing.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
They don't even share in communism, they just rob each other.
Anyways. So that's when Mother decided that there needed to be someone to keep our cousins in check. And she began the process of birthing her own race.
As you guys come up, traveling up the mountain path, you come to a flat area with a graveyard. And sitting on the far side of the graveyard is a gate. And atop the gate is what looks like a vulture, except it has the face of a woman.
Every
woman. As you, her messy hair looking like it hadn't been washed in quite some time, atop her large feathered body, as you approach the flat area in front of the flat area full of graves, you notice that there are a couple graves that have been desecrated, missing. You can see the bits of their tombstones in a pile off to the side.
Interesting.
This is, well, we're going to have to go through that gate.
As you approach the gate with the large vulture lady sitting on top of it, staring down, you notice in around one of her talons is a ring, the key dangling off of it.
I gotta talk to this.
Closer, she screeches and flaps out her wings, spreading a good 8 feet across. She says,
if you can, I shall let you pass this day if you find the grave of Ray.
And she drops down from her other talon a scroll in a scroll case. She nods down towards it.
I'll take it.
As you take it and you open it slowly and you unravel the paper inside. It shows on the one side of the paper a map of the graveyard and where all of the tombs are placed. And there's a section that's circled that when you check over, you know, when you take a look at approximately where that section would be, it's where the four gravestones have been damaged, three of which have been completely knocked over, except for one with a bit of red left on the finish. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Zan kind of glances up and says to the Bone Man, what are we doing?
We need to find this Ray fellow, I guess.
Let's dig it up.
If we dig them all up, we will fail the task and be unable to move forward. And if we cannot move forward, then we were not smart enough to get past it. Not worthy of the later tests.
So turning the page over, there's a circled area that would overlap with the map on the other side, right?
Yes. As you flip the page over, you notice that there are five points on the back that are written out. As you take a closer look, the first one says, Winston is buried in the fourth grave.
Great, it's a riddle.
Second point says,
go ahead.
As you take a look at the air, so we'll back up just a second. You look at the four graves, and the third one is still standing, and that is the one with the red markings on it. And the first point says, on the back of the page says, Winston is buried in the fourth grave. The second point is, Peter's grave is somewhere to the left of the jade tombstone. Point number three, Ray's tombstone is decorated in onyx black. Point four, Egon is not buried at either end of these four plots. Egon does, however, rest to the right of the sapphire blue tombstone. And point number five, the first grave should not have the onyx tombstone.
So a black onyx tombstone, in my mind, is pretty obvious. Can we do a search for a black onyx tombstone?
Yeah, how many of those?
You looking through the pile, you do find a jade and an onyx and a sapphire tombstone.
And we locate where those originated from?
No, the bases are all made out of some other kind of stone. It's very fine, possibly marble, but grayer than most marbles you've seen.
What is the orientation, sorry, of these four tombstones? Is it just a box?
They're side by side.
So they're in a row.
Oh, so just four in a row. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm just doing a visual thing. I'm a visual
Yeah,
person,
I know.
So.
I'm drawing it yet, too.
Okay, so there's four. Could you possibly just put those hints maybe like in the chat if you have them typed out? Or if not, we can just say them and I'll write them out.
How wide is the fabricate spell?
10 feet.
Okay. Can I just fabricate all those graves out of there and take however long it takes?
Except if you get it wrong, you fail the test.
Instance in the fourth.
Oh, so there's like repercussions for not getting it right on the button.
This test is meant to test the intelligence of the person trying to get to the next step.
Yeah, the problem is Zan has a higher intelligence than the person controlling her. Okay, so
you mean the guy who has no brain right now?
The guy with no brain knows more than us.
So when it says Egon is not buried at either ends of the four plots, so the four plots is just like a 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Would an end, like, with just for clarification, I'm not sure if you can actually tell me this, but would an end mean just like the first and the fourth? Would those be considered the end
yes.
plots?
Yes.
Okay, so with that, we can rest to the right of the sapphire. So Egon is either in 2 or 3. And whichever one he is to the it's not buried.
Egon is in 3.
It's either 2 or 3 because he
but he's
to the right of the sapphire blue. But we don't know which one's the blue. So the blue is either 3 or 4.
Wait. Hold on. No. Winston is in the fourth grave. Peter is left of Jade. So I put Peter as Sapphire and Egon is Jade.
Egon is Jade?
Yeah.
There's so much to the left.
And then Egon is to the right of the Sapphire. And the first grave doesn't have the onyx. So I've got Peter and Sapphire as number 1, onyx as number 2, Jade Egon as number 3, and then Winston as the 4th. I don't know what color Winston's tomb is.
We dig two.
Oh, hold up. I don't know if that first grave. So the first grave shouldn't be onyx.
Right.
Sorry, can you say that one more time, Megan?
Yeah. Okay. I've got sapphire first, and that's Peter's.
Sapphire. Why is that one sapphire?
Okay. Because Egon has to be to the right of it.
Well, yeah, sapphire blue is either one or two at least.
We know and that onyx. Certain. And because Egon has to be to the right of it, and Onyx can't be number one, I put Onyx at number two.
Well, Onyx could be three or four, couldn't it?
No, it can't be four, because Winston is number four.
But we don't know what color Winston is.
That is true, but Onyx is Ray.
Hmm? Yes.
Ray is Onyx. Yeah, fair. Yeah, we just don't know what color Winston is.
So, but Onyx Black, which is what we're looking for, which is Ray. It could be still three. What's number three, do you think?
Jade.
Peter's gravestone is somewhere to the left. Peter. Oh, yeah. So then Peter should be either one or two. And then Jade, based on that. Well, the Jade could be number four. It could be Winston. Winston could be Jade. We do know Peter is on the left side and Jade is on the right, but Jade could be number four, I think, because we don't know what color Winston is.
I suppose that's true, yeah.
We do want to be careful. It's not buried at either end. So Aegon's in the...
First grave is not on the left. I'm not by any means saying I'm good at riddles.
Yeah, I just want to double, triple check everything, because it would be real sad if we just, like, fail and are called dumb by every devil in hell.
I'm just smiling and pretending I'm participating.
Yes. Sapphire blue. So sapphire blue, we're thinking, is number one, but what's stopping it from being number two?
Because Onyx can't be number one.
Yes. So we know one cannot be Onyx.
Yeah.
But the sapphire blue could be one or two, right? Because Aegon is either two or three for certain. That is certain. And Aegon has the blue to the left of him, because Aegon is right of blue. So blue should be one or two. This is kind of like Sudoku when you're trying to figure out the numbers, right? When you have like...
Yeah.
So, okay, so blue. Winston is number four. Number two, let's look at that. Peter's grave is somewhere to the left of the Jade. So,
yeah,
we don't know anything about the Jade. Similar to the left of Jade. I mean, we do know that Peter can't be number four, because A, it's Winston.
Yeah.
Two or three is either Aegon or probably Rey. I'm pretty sure Rey is in the middle, one of them. Oh, yeah, because one cannot be Rey either, because Rey is Onyx.
Yeah.
So Rey is either two or three, but let's narrow that down.
Yeah, I'm still working on that part now. I was really confident until a moment ago when you questioned me, and now.
Sorry. Well, I did want to make sure, because we don't want to.
Oh no, that's good. No, that's good. Question me.
First grave should not have Onyx. Okay, so. The other thing we can try to is we can try to place, because we have a couple, you know, A or B's. We could try one out and see if it fits the whole algorithm, right? So we don't know. So Jade. So much to the left.
Shit, yeah. Ray could be in two or three.
Yeah. We have four names. We have Winston, Ray, Aegon, and Peter. We know Winston is number four.
Mm-hmm.
So Winston
and the
Winston,
third. Just to point out, the third tombstone is still in place, and that one is a ruby red. Is decorated in a ruby red facade.
Yes, that one is red.
Oh, okay.
Well, that one is red. Well, that should actually make it two, but let's just double check. It should be two.
Yeah.
Let's double check. So red is three. So Jade is...
So Jade would be Winston then.
I think Jade would have to be four.
Yeah.
Because if Jade is two, Jade could be two and one could be blue. How many colors do we have? We have the black.
We've got Jade. Black, red, green, and blue.
Yeah.
Red is three.
And red is number three.
Yes. Because the thing is, what stops Ray from being number four again?
It's not Winston.
Winston is buried in the fourth grade.
Yes, we already know. So yeah, I think that is right. I think two is right. Let me just fill it in real quick just to get a visual.
Yeah.
So Ray, we think is two, and we think is black. One, we think is
Peter.
I don't know if we'd have all of their names in the right. Argon is not. Oh yeah, Argon is three. Aegon or whatever, the E dude. Winston is Jade over on the right, on the far right.
Mm-hmm.
So Winston, Jade.
That makes Peter.
Argon is red at number three, and number one is Peter with. What color is Peter?
Peter's blue, sapphire.
Yes. So now let's look at that information, fill it through the questions, and make sure that all of them are correct.
Yep.
Do you want to do the honors?
I think it works. Winston's in the fourth grave. Peter's grave is to the left of Jade. Ray's tombstone is black. Aegon is not at either end, but he's to the right of the blue sapphire tombstone. Yep. And the first grave cannot be black. So I think we're good. Blue, black, red, green.
I forgot about the information that is red. We don't. There's no other information that we have?
There's no other information that you have.
Yeah. So...
Okay, go ahead.
One last thing. Can I go to... So the tombstones, like, are they completely missing from 1, 2, and 4?
Yes.
Yeah, they were in a pile.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, I could go and, like, really look at, like, if there's a chunk of a tombstone, we just see, like, the tiniest, like, a little paint stained of, like, black. And it's like, oh, it's fucking this one.
That's what I asked, but he said it was a different material on the bottom.
Oh, okay. Sorry. But, yeah, I'm confident in two. You're good, Megan?
Yep.
As you think, turn John? Back towards the vulture lady sitting up top of the gate, she nods over to one side of the graveyard, and you see a barrel full of shovels.
Oh yeah, we have to dig them up.
Let me fabricate that hole.
You could also ape. Jesus. It's up to you. It's up to you, bro. That is actually not a bad use of fabricate. But Fabricate could, like, straight up open a door for us at some point, right, too?
Also true.
Well, we'll just dig it out. We'll just do it old-fashioned.
Yeah. None of us are super...
I signal to my party to dig as I light another incense.
Hey, I fucking toss you a shovel. Get on your hands and knees, you queen-ass bitch.
I avoid it. I avoid it like the Matrix.
Okay, I'm gonna throw it at you. Can I actually make...
I'll make a deck save.
Can I make an attack roll with the shovel? Improvise.
Sure, make me a ranged attack with dirt. Versus a deck save.
Sure, so it's basically dex versus dex. It's just...
So he's throwing a shovel at me?
Yeah.
No, he's throwing a shovel full of dirt.
No, I'm throwing the shovel.
Oh, okay.
Can I dimension door the shovel and turn it at his direction?
No, dimension door is just yourself and your stuff, but...
Don't lie. Okay, well, I'm going to grab my shovel and attempt to baseball bat it towards him.
Sure.
I grab a shovel and I start digging.
All right.
So Zan manages to dig out the grave while the other two are attempting to hit each other with a shovel.
Boys.
I'm a girl.
No, I was trying to throw you the shovel so you would pick it up and help, but then you picked up another shovel to play baseball with.
Yeah, I was trying to hit it back at you.
And as you get down digging to the through the dirt, you eventually hit a hollow thud as you start clearing away the last bits of dirt, and you reveal a coffin, wooden, the wood aged and almost grayish. You stick the shovel in and you crack it open to reveal the decayed, decrepit body of what must have been a guy named Ray at some point.
He's just got like a name tag on and says Phil. Damn it!
I was so looking forward to the girl from Star Wars.
Oh.
As you climb out and motion over, but as you're about to motion over to the vulture, you realize it's already taken flight. You hear a of wings as it dives past you, dropping the key at your feet as it lands inside of the hole and begins ripping, using its talons, pulling limbs off and bringing them up to the face. It's ripping this desiccated meat off of this corpse.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fuck.
Hold on, I'm just gonna make myself make a con save just to like
not vomit.
Yeah.
That's some Peter Jackson from the 1980s shit.
Also, I'm just gonna say, if I was a necromancer right now, that dude be dancing. I would have, without hesitation, just animated the hell out of this guy. Here's Ray!
So I assume after we leveled up, I full rested, like I got full spell slots and shit?
Yep.
Or no?
Yes.
Okay. Do I get any more sorcery points?
Yeah, you have 10 now.
Nice, okay.
Alright. So you now have the key. What would you like to do with it?
Open the gate.
There is a gate somewhere?
Well, we were in front of it. That was the whole idea, I thought.
Oh, okay. Oh. Sorry,
I missed that.
The gate where the vulture lady was sitting on top of?
Yeah.
Yep. Yippers.
Puzzle mode. Also, Megan, high five.
How does the pothead remember this shit?
Because the pothead wasn't up with the puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just was gate, thinking guys. About the gates. I'm like, I'll remember the gate. That. You guys do the puzzle. I'll sit by the gate.
Legit.
Fuck your shovel.
That's awesome.
All right. So you wander over to the gate, and you put the key in, and you give it a turn, and with a creak, the gate swings open, and you slip on through. As you move up this mountain pass through the gate, you hear, as you get up the gate, it clatters shut behind you.
I look up at the Skelly boy. What's his name again, sorry?
Roth.
Zach Skellington.
Hey, Roth, so when you did that the first time, you actually got the right body, eh?
That time, they weren't asking for bodies. There wasn't even a graveyard there when I did this.
Oh, what'd you have to do?
There was a... scratches his head for a second and goes, if I recall correctly, it was having to work out the probability of rolling enough six-sided dice, how many you would need to ensure that you could not roll below... I can't remember the number now. It was an astronomically ridiculous question.
Oh, I would have actually had fun with that, because I would have actually, like, crushed it at that, because in terms of numbers and stuff, oh boy.
I would have thrown a shovel at Jeff.
I mean...
I've got the answer! Ka-dunk! What am I doing here again?
No!
3 more hours later.
As you make your way up the mountain pass, you start hearing shouting ahead. And you have been found guilty of stealing from the church's grounds. No, I promise. All I was doing was trying to make medicine. Witchcraft on top of theft. For your crime, you shall be burned at the stake. As you rush into the room to see a man tied at the bottom of a pyre, a crowd of people surrounding at a safe distance, cheering as an angel hovers overhead, pointing at the man tied to the stake. And that's where we'll cut for this session.
I know that answer.
Oh, what?
Burn everyone! Hey!